from the Holy Gospel according to John. One day Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, very tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "But how can you, a Jew, ask me for a Samaritan woman for a drink?" For Jews use nothing in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you only knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Please give me a drink,' you would have asked him that he would have given you living water." And the woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and this cistern is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, perhaps, who gave us this cistern and drank from it himself with his children and his flocks?" Jesus answered her and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him or her a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Oh, sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water," she said. And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered and said to him, "I do not have a husband." Jesus answered her, "You are correct in saying I do not have a husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said to him, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." And Jesus responded to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand, because salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and it is now here, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus replied, "I am he, the one who speaks to you now. Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. And when the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them. And he stayed there for 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word. And they said to this woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord. I look before me in this first row and I see four stalwart missionaries. Sister Marge and Sister Irma and Sister Lee and Sister Jenny. All of us are called to be missionaries, and it's very clear in our liturgy today. Let's go to the roots. Let's see. For our purposes, let's look at the gospel today just very briefly. This is an encounter, a personal encounter, a God moment between a person, a woman, and God. And it's very intimate. It's very loving. It's very caring. We hear it's midday, really hot. And Jesus is at this well. And he encounters a Samaritan woman. This is Middle Eastern heat. We think this is hot. In July, it's worse there. And he asks her for a drink, just a simple drink. And she's shocked. Why is she shocked? By law, Jesus has already broken three laws. First of all, he's a man, and publicly, men don't speak to women. A well is a public place. So he broke that law. She's from Samaria. She's a Samaritan. Jews don't speak to Samaritans. Strike two for Jesus. And thirdly,
She is living with this guy. That's not her husband. She's deemed a sinner. Strike three for Jesus. And she's shocked. Well, Jesus knows the story. He doesn't care about her background. This is God who accepts, loves, and comes to the encounter. There's no condemnation, only compassion and mercy. So she's touched by God. And in the other longer version, she runs off and she tells the whole world, he's got to meet this fellow. He's told me everything about myself. He's helped me let go of as fast as possible. So she experiences God's tremendous love. When that happens to any of us, we cannot keep shut. Keep our mouth shut, that is. We can't keep quiet. We have to go forth. On November 9, 1732, way before any of us was born, Father Alfonso Savory met with six companions. He had been discerning, and they founded what was to become the New Redemptorist Congregation. This institute was founded to witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And this is the news, that God loves us no matter what. And it doesn't depend on how good we are, or how bad we are, or what our opinion about it is. God loves us and wants us to love Him back, in words and deeds. So it's rooted in this tremendous love that God has for every person. His endless mercy. And this group, they were to work as brothers, together, as a team, in community, in testifying to this great truth of God's law. But then in 5 months, all the priests, they were six priests and one brother, all the priests abandoned St. Alphonsus. This was too radical for them. It was too hard. They just couldn't fathom it. It seemed just something too new. The one who stayed with him was Brother Vito Vitus, Vito Curcio. And every Redemptorist brother that I know endlessly reminds me of that. The one who stayed with Jesus was the brother. The priest abandoned him. Yes, brother. Yes. That's Brother Bill across the street sometime. They were the community for a number of years. But this was Jesus' work, and it didn't end there. And in time, more and more joined, and ever since then, the congregation has grown worldwide, reaching out to the most abandoned and witnessing to the good news of God's love and God's great mercy. Well, this weekend also, as you see right here in front of the emblem, we start a jubilee year, starting with tomorrow is actually the day of the 200th anniversary of the death of St. Clement Hofbauer, a second founder of the congregation, a second founder of sorts, taking the Redemptorists out of Italy. He traveled to Italy, he and his friend, Father Thaddeus, they weren't priests yet. And the way they decided was they were going to go to Rome, and the first bells that they heard, they would go to that church. And it was the Redemptorist Church, and early, real early in the morning. And they were praying the breviary, morning prayer like we do here. And that's where they joined. And then after he was ordained, he took the congregation to way north beyond the Alps. So he worked hard, persevered through a tough life as the Redemptorists were expelled and imprisoned during this time of revolution in Europe. You know, right at the end of the 1700s, beginning of the 1800s. So he died in 1820, and he tried, they were expelled, and he was responsible eventually for the Redemptorists who spread through Europe and from there other parts of the world, including to the United States, 12 years after he died. So, all through the world. Today, the Redemptorist family worldwide includes about 5,300 professed Redemptorist priests and brothers, plus many other persons associated with the congregation, married and single, who are connected to the Redemptorists in a variety of ways. And we serve in about 80 countries now, more or less.
Historically, oh, also, we have a female side to us, the Redemptoristine cloistered nuns.
They're a year older than us, and they always like to remind us of that.
They had been founded in St. Alphonsus as a diocesan priest was their spiritual director, and the monk superior had dreams about him. But she had some odd dreams, that he would found a missionary group, but they would wear red, white, and blue. She had all the details down, and she said to her the famous line, "Sister Celeste, I believe that what you heard from Jesus is true. However, my missionaries will not dress as clowns. They will dress as missionaries." That's a little bit of redemptive folklore. It seems to be true. We've always worked alongside the laity in many ways. Without the laity throughout the world, many, if not most, of our apostolic programs just would not happen, or they'd be very, very limited. They wouldn't succeed. Everyone, according to their very, very callings, is a missionary disciple of Christ, the Most Holy Redeemer, drawn to and animated by that charism of St. Alphonsus Liguori and the Redemptors. One form of connection and involvement is that of the Redemptorist Associates, which we have all through the world, and now there's a push to organize even better here in the United States. And each Redemptorist community in the United States and through the world is to organize a local circle. Who are the Tucson Redemptorist Associates? Did you know that we had a circle of associates here? You ought to if you read the bulletin and if you know who they are. St. Clement Hoffauer, first of all, founded in Northern Europe there what I call the precursor of the Redemptorist Associates. In the early days of the 1800s, they would gather and they would share faith, stories, and they'd help him minister during all those dangerous times. In fact, they carried the torch when Redemptorists were expelled by the emperor when they were in prison. They kept on going. Nothing could stop them. Today, Redemptorist Associates exist worldwide, sharing in charism and ministry with the professed Redemptors. So here at the Renewal Center, we have had a circle of men and women Redemptorist Associates founded in, I think it was January of 2018. So 3 years. Two. And some. Yes. I never was that good in math. Yeah, in January of 2018 by Father Paul Curry. And there were 35 persons who completed the formation, preparation, and redemptive spirituality. And ever since, we've met twice monthly for faith sharing, ongoing formation, rooted in the redemptive charism and spirituality. And all of us are engaged in some way, in some manner, in local ministries at the Renewal Center, and at Our Lady of the Desert Church Community, or locally in other ministries, reaching out to those most in need. Father Curry and Lynn Morrison here were the first co-directors, and when I arrived, I joined Lee as co-director. And very recently, Jenny Martin, who was sitting here with Lee, was invited to be co-director with me. So the two of us are the co-directors of the Redemptorist Tucson Circle. And what happens at our meetings is a variety of things. Spiritual presentations, prayer, Redemptorist vocation sharing, storytelling about Redemptorist history. Like, where else would you know that story about Sister Celeste and St. Alphonsus? See, I told you one of the stories. Redemptorist saints, blesseds, and our own personal journeys and fellowship. And as an incentive, if you're interested, we end the meeting with a nice dinner in the dining room here. That's always good. Mm-hmm. Now, though, with advanced technology, we'll be able to look into connecting as a virtual circle. So a person wouldn't necessarily have to be in a certain physical location. You know, one that's not defined by that, but connected through the internet via Zoom video conferencing. Well, this last point, I would like to quickly make an invitation to you, as I invite you to consider discernment about becoming a Redemptorist associate, whether as an individual or as a couple. We're going to have an upcoming workshop in Redemptorist spirituality sponsored by the Redemptorists of the, we are part of what's called the Denver Province. And those who participate in this workshop are invited to explore the possibility of becoming Redemptorist associates. It's going to be offered online, May 2nd and 3rd. The information is outside on some tables. We might have a group, depending on how the coronavirus thing goes, gathered here in what's called a cluster at the Renewal Center, or it might be individually that people could do in their homes on those 2 days. And the one who is going to be done by, and the one who will be directing it, is Father Greg May. I think you all remember Father Greg. And he'll be doing that from Chicago. So we all adapt to that time zone. And why this workshop? The purpose of the workshop is to gather laypersons interested in exploring Redemptorist spirituality. Some may choose to continue discernment as associates. But either way, it's going to be a very, it's going to be a real richness in this to understand a little better, to be in tune with Redemptorist spirituality. And if it resonates with you, who knows? You might want to connect with our religious congregation that, on your faith journey and ministry. Associates will be available outside Mass. Davenport's, and I don't know if someone else will be there. There's a table to the left. Please stop by, see the beautiful displays that we, not me, they made. They're very nice. And we have some pamphlets about this workshop and some little cards that we made. Feel free to take one. We ran off plenty. And if you want to register for this, you know, you can talk to John out there. And the deadline will be April 15th. Just want to let you know, though, a heads up. In November, we're going to have a retreat here for a couple days. People don't have to stay overnight here, or they won't be staying overnight. In Redemptorist spirituality, we're going to have it on site the week before Thanksgiving for present and future associates. And I'll tell you more about that another time. And I close with St. Alphonsus chose as the motto or theme of the Redemptorist Psalm 130. That the one that begins, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord," because the part of hope that never dies, as the second reading referred to, with the Lord there is mercy and plentiful redemption. Amen.
Amen.